Hi everyone, it's Gavin J, the best thing since spring, and you're listening to Therapist Week right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I talked to Ab Manan, who has 20 years experience as a recruiter and currently a senior manager for a global financial services company, handling executive level hiring globally. We'll be discussing recruitment, mental well-being, and returning to work in the office. Welcome to the show, Ab. Tell us a bit more about yourself. How are you doing, mate?
Thanks, mate. Thanks for the introduction. Make me sound like I'm pretty important.
You sound like a really high position you're in, to be honest.
Well, no, it's okay. I mean, I do a bit of job.
You're humble. You sound very humble.
No, I'm doing well. Thank you very much. Yeah. So, yeah, no, like you said, I'm a recruiter by trade. Yeah. So I work for one of the large financial services organization. I'm based in London. I'm one of our senior managers. So I manage a lot of the executive level hiring here. So a lot of the stuff that we would do at the sort of board level. But, you know, my recruitment career has taken me across a number of different places. I've done all levels, worked a lot of different markets, and even lived abroad for a little bit with my job, which has been really good fun.
Oh, that's brilliant. Where did you live abroad? Is that of interest?
I was in, this kind of the whole lockdown thing kicks in quite nicely here. I was based in the Philippines for a little bit. So with my current company, I was out there for a 6-month assignment. And then it would have gone on a little bit longer. Then it got cut short because of lockdown. But I was building a sort of a team out there. And it was good fun. Yeah.
Sounds really cool. Well, look, Ab, take us from the beginning. Talk to us a bit about yourself, your background, and how you got to where you are.
Yeah, so a little bit about myself. I'm born and bred in Wales, in Cardiff. I'm actually in Cardiff right now. Thought I'd come home and spend some time with my mum. Like a lot of people, funnily enough, in recruitment, it's a bit of a running joke. I don't think anybody chooses a career in recruitment. You kind of fall into it. And so I kind of went down the usual avenue of starting off agency recruitment, which is fairly salesy, to say the least. I think, you know, if you go in there thinking that you're there to sort of just get people jobs, it's definitely not that. I think it's, you know, it's a real sales environment. And, you know, if I'm going back when I started my career, the city was slightly different, shall we say. There were obviously, you know, nights out and the sort of the environment that you got was very, very different to what we're seeing now. If I'm honest with you, I didn't really enjoy my career to begin with. I think for the first, you know, 6 or 7 years, I kind of guess I kind of did it thinking that I'd make a bit of money out of it. I kind of did it more wanting to be based in London. But I spent the first 7-8 years working on the agency side, you know, doing more of that sales piece. And this is kind of where my journey into sort of mental health really kicked in. I kind of didn't know why I was unhappy. I mean, I was in London. I obviously had friends around me. I was earning more money than I'd earned before. I was earning, you know, enough to live. But I kind of didn't know where I was. And I got to my late 20s. And ironically, it took, like probably a lot of people, you know, a bit of heartbreak. And I remember my boss telling me, you know, you should, you don't seem yourself. But I'd always been a little bit sort of sad at times. And so I went and finally saw a doctor, and it was the best thing I did. I mean, at the time, we just didn't talk about mental health, especially men. And I got diagnosed with depression, and, you know, it transpired that I've had it for a long, long time in my life. And I made some changes to my life. I decided to sort of move away from agency side, moved in-house. And I've been a lot happier since. I mean, I know myself more now, and I've moved into different areas. I've sort of moved across different banks. I now work for a major financial services organization as one of their senior leads looking after executive hiring. And I love this piece because I'm obviously hiring people at a senior level, but it's also more than just recruiting. It gets me involved with looking at things like diversity, looking at inclusion, looking at things like, you know, psychometric testing, motivators, and takes me back to that whole mental health piece again, which is obviously something I'm very passionate about now. So, yeah, it's one of the reasons why I want to talk to you, especially with lockdown. I think it's a very, very interesting place to be at the moment.
Brilliant stuff. Gosh. Okay, so you've got a bit of a background there, which is, and you know, I think it's all good to have some experience as well and know, kind of pushes us forward to know what we want and what we don't want, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So let's kick off. Not to bring everyone back to the point of discussing lockdown, but it's a good point to start, basically, isn't it? I mean, in terms of lockdown and mental health and recruitment, talk to us a bit about that. What was your experience with that whole situation?
Yeah, and so, I mean, sort of just sort of filters back again to my past. So as I mentioned, obviously, I kind of knew I wasn't happy and I moved in house. And while I enjoyed my job, I still found that I had parts of my life that I was never happy about. And so I you know, I was in a relationship. It didn't work out. I was acting up, I guess. You know, I was very withdrawn. And I got to my 30s and I decided that, you know, this needs to be looked at. And I got diagnosed with depression then.
Was that from the relationship breakdown, or was that a combination of maybe you're not happy in work and combination of the relationship?
The relationship breakdown was the trigger for me. I think it was at the time, it seemed like the most traumatic experience that I had. But my actual, as I sort of went through it, and I think lockdown has been another factor where I've gone even further into it. It is something that I've suffered from since a very young age. I got diagnosed with epilepsy when I was 16. I went away on holiday with a few friends and, you know, I got diagnosed out there. I had problems since a child, but nobody knew what it was. So I always kind of felt there was something wrong. And then once I got diagnosed, I went through the ages of sort of 16 through to 18 in particular, where people learned to drive. And I was told that I couldn't take a bath without being supervised. I was in and out of hospital every week. And so my mental health.
We do excuse, sorry, listeners.
Sorry about that.
Problem. Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. Can we go? Sorry, go on.
Sorry. Typical, my sister. Hopefully I can see you. So we were, you know, I went through that phase when I was, you know, really in the years where I was going to hope to learn to drive, hope to do a couple of things, and I couldn't. And I guess I kind of started to feel my mental health deteriorate from then. I started to become a little bit more reserved in my outlook in life, lost a little bit of confidence. And so as I went through that initial journey of being diagnosed with depression, I went through you know, different types of therapy, different types of treatment. I was really fortunate. My employer was really supportive at the time in terms of trying doing different things. I found CBT was one that really stuck with me at the time.
I've heard that from quite a few people, you know.
Yeah.
I've had quite a few shows about varying topics, and I've heard CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, come up quite a few times. So obviously it's very effective.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it was, you know, my depression, my sort of actions and my behavior were obviously not helping. And so a lot of what, like you said, around my breakdown or a lot of things in my life that happened before, it was a lot of down to me on blame and guilt and a few other things. And I found CBT was the one thing where I could find a practical solution around something. Don't get me wrong, talking and as I got later on in my life and I've had therapy later on, it's ironic, those kind of treatments that didn't work for me to begin with are more effective now. But at the time, I felt I was probably still quite a restless young man. And I found CBT was something quite practical that I could just take in and just, it's sort of out of the box, I can bring into my life straight away.
Right. Brilliant. Yeah. It's brilliant that you found something that helps you effectively move forwards from, you know, such a place. Do you know what I mean? I mean, what impacts have you seen on the job market and employees during lockdown?
Yeah, so I mean, when we initially had lockdown, I think the initial impact was very little. I think, you know, it was probably more the other way. We obviously saw the furlough scheme come in. We saw many people who were more fearful of sort of their role. We found a lot of people who enjoyed the furlough side of things. I think working from home, you know.
No surprise and about that.
And I think working from home, a lot of people sort of saw it as, hey, this is a time for me to reconnect with other things in my life. I think the interesting thing about it, if I look at lockdown, I'd probably take her in three phases. If I take it that furlough phase, I think we saw a huge shift in the initial idea of mental well-being. And I think people saw it as a temporary situation. So everybody jumped on the bandwagon with, hey, I don't care if I get a new job, or I don't care about where I am with things. I can spend time with my family, my kids, etc. And then we went through that second phase where people are like, well, this has lasted more than 3-6 months. Is this here to stay? And so it became a normal. And then we started seeing that working from home fatigue that kicked in. Then we started seeing employers really looking at how we can get engagement levels up, because the initial engagement levels were really high. We were seeing within our organization, we were seeing with candidate engagement was extremely high. Then we found fatigue kicked in. And so it sort of kicked in where people were thinking, well, I'm getting out of my bed and I'm just logging on my computer and my office is my bedroom and et cetera. What's going on from here? I'm in this shell. And this is kind of where I think a lot of the unhealthy behavior really started with people. And so we've done a lot of different things. And even from a, you know, we can talk about it, even from a candidate evaluation perspective, we started using more psychometric tools to help understand candidates more now with some of the stuff that's come out of this phase itself. Because I think we started to see that some people were itching to come back to the office. But once we would start to get people back to the office, they wanted to do maybe one day. It needed to be an event. And then there was obviously that fear of COVID, naturally. And the government, with what they were doing, wasn't exactly very consistent with a lot of it. And so then we had that phase. And so I think that's sort of been a bit of a normal. And so businesses jumped on the bandwagon of selling working from home, working from home. We now have a situation, and we were talking about it off piece earlier, about going back to the office. And businesses telling you now, hey, you need to come back. And it's a very difficult conversation, because you've ultimately told an employee you can work from home. You've told an employee for 2 years, this is your new normal. And now you want them to go back into something that they no longer understand.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of that, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because we've come so far with it and there's a lot of pluses with it. And then, you know, then you have to readjust everything again in your mindset and, you know.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, this is kind of what I've been exploring a lot with candidates. This is what I've been exploring a lot in HR with our employees, to really understand the why. And there's a lot of things that have happened. You know, we see the job market is really busy at the moment. And when we're recruiting now, unlike the start of the pandemic, you can't find a candidate for love nor money now. Salaries are going through the roof.
That's good, isn't it? That's really good, though, isn't it? I'm glad to hear that, to be honest with you.
It's good, you know? On one hand, yeah. It's definitely very good. I think there is a slight danger, I think, a silent danger around mental health with it. Because, interestingly enough, whenever we hired people through the pandemic, and even now, we can't tell people what our culture is. Because unless you're in an office environment, how can you sell a culture of an organization? Mm-hmm. And so to really connect with an employee that starts a new job is very difficult. And so I can understand why people are leaving, either for money or they're feeling disengaged where they are. But it's very rarely they're going to get that satisfaction with a new employer, because those obstacles still exist. And so I think a lot of people haven't thought about, and it's, well, why would they, or employers, how we've treated working from home and how we should have really re-engaged people back into the workplace. Because being in the workplace for me isn't about working more productively. I probably work as productively at home. I feel it's a sense of belonging, and it's that identity that I get, which just helps me in my mental health over day 2 and 3 rather than day 1.
I get that. Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah. That's fair enough. I mean, are companies taking note of mental health when hiring and attracting candidates as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they are. I've got my own ideas around what they could do. I think what they're doing so far is not bad. I think you're obviously getting the ability to be flexible working. Offices are open, but they're not pressurizing people to come in that I know of. And if so, it gives people that area to do what they want. I think with modern technology, with Zoom, as we're communicating on now, the ability to connect and work different hours, especially if you've got kids or you've got other commitments, makes it a little bit easier. We as an organization where I work, we're doing some interesting stuff. We do sort of breakfast events. We do lunch events. So we're trying to get people to have breakfast together. So we're trying to take people outside of that working norm and say, well, at least connect on a slightly different level around that. And so businesses are doing that. The other thing that we're doing, which I think is really, really interesting, which I can see a lot more organizations doing, as I mentioned earlier, is the psychometric evaluating that personality profiling, shall we say, which has been used before, but I guess it's been used slightly differently. So we're using two tools. We're using a tool called Hogan, which is quite often used in evaluating candidates' personalities and where they fit. But we've kind of reverse engineered that. What Hogan does is it not only tells you about, you know, in your case, Gavin, it'll tell you about what you are day to day in terms of your ambition, in terms of your drive. It also tells you at times of stress, or as they call it, derailment, what kind of traits come through more. So Hogan mentions we can react in three different ways, ultimately, as people, at times of stress or pressure. We can either move away from people. So you do find those people who become very much insular and they decide to become very quiet. We either move against people and you find people become very, you know, there's a lot of friction. People like arguing at times of stress, or we move towards people and people become very, very compliant. And so they probably lose their own opinion and they become too much of a people pleaser, which, as we know, is also a mental health issue, people pleasing being something that can happen. And so that's the area we focus on. We don't actually use it as an assessment tool. When we hire people, we do that because we get to understand what people's derailers are so that we can look out for any changes in their behavior so we can make sure that we keep people healthy. If we know somebody is naturally somebody that will become very quiet, that times of stress and pressure, if they become quiet, we're not going to see as a situation by where they're no longer engaged. We kind of try to understand, hey, maybe something's wrong here. Maybe we need to change our approach to make sure that they stay engaged and we keep them healthy. So that's a really interesting tool that we're using from a mental health perspective.
Brilliant. We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, Abs, you're talking about, I know we've been talking about psychometric testing and derailers and basically identifying areas where someone might be under feeling stress and pressurized and that kind of thing. How do you it's difficult because if you're working from home now, how do you acknowledge that someone might be having some challenges, if you like? Because you know, you get some people that will come straight forward and say, yep, you know what, I'm actually getting a bit stressed out with everything because or this aspect of the work or whatever it might be. But then, like you mentioned, you get people that go inwards into themselves.
Yeah.
And working in various services, people that go into themselves don't communicate too much to other people. So not all of them, but some people don't communicate too much to other people. Is there any way of identifying that?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, and I can relate to that because I'm that latter person that you said.
Okay.
And I definitely did that. You're absolutely right. And,
oh right, okay.
It's a difficult one. I think, you know, organisations try to do a good job where they offer you, you know, we have counselling sessions that get offered independently through different sort of medical practices and training that we do. But it is about trying to get that engagement. And this is kind of where the working from home becomes very dangerous.
That's right. That's my whole point.
And this is kind of where, you know, we've made, this is kind of where I try and talk to people about trying to understand the benefits of coming to the office once in a while. I appreciate that there is still something out there which is still, you know, can't be controlled.
It's absolutely still there. That's right. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But, you know, unless you come into the office, unless you have somebody, I had something really similar, Gavin, you know, I had a situation and I sit here as an ambassador for mental health, but I'm, you know, I tick some of these boxes that I tell people not to do. I went through a horrible phase at the start of lockdown and I couldn't talk to my manager. My boss is all the way in America, but I have a colleague in London who I'm really good friends with, but I hadn't seen her for about a year. But I went into the office and she went in and I just felt so comfortable just saying, you know, can I talk to you about something? And it was, I would never have done that over Zoom. I don't know why. I just wouldn't have felt comfortable. But, you know, going out and having a sandwich over there and you know, it was a sunny day. It made the world of difference for me to open up. And then, you know, she's been with the business a long time. She helped me in terms of, you know, where I went for more help, et cetera. And it took 20 minutes for me to really think, hey, I can get through this. And, you know, I'm still having treatment now. I'm not going to deny it. You know, I still have a lot of therapy sessions, but I can talk about it now. And that's because I went to the office and I managed to connect with somebody, which is why I say it's so valuable to do that.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. You know, I went to the office a couple of weeks ago and it was really good to see a few people in between my meetings and stuff. And then I went back out into the community. But it takes a lot of guts to come forward to people, isn't it? As you know, firsthand, and say, do you know what? I'm actually finding these areas a bit challenging. And I suppose what you're describing is the power of, you know, seeing people face to face, because it's kind of in our DNA, isn't it? We need to see people. Even I think because we've become so conditioned to working from home, we're like, oh, well, you know, I'll just deal with it. I'd rather do that. I'd rather have the convenience of being at home rather than have to travel in and see other people I might not want to see, or all the rest of it. However, it as you know, it gets to a point where you do need to see people. It is healthy to see people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And that's it, isn't it, really? And the other danger of working from home that you probably do, and I know I do, and I've spoken to a lot of people, is that you never log off. You're constantly online. And so another benefit of coming to the office is that journey in, you can just switch off.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? And I tell my team that, and you know, other managers say the same thing, like, switch off. Don't turn your laptop on if you're making a long journey or whatever it is. If I can't force you to, you know, look after your mental health, at least that journey can force you to do a little something.
Yeah.
So little things like that, really. I mean, we do a couple of other things. I mean, for me personally, I think we can all be ambassadors ourselves and do a little bit to look after other people's health. When I go through Hogan assessments with people, I do a slightly softer approach. I try and talk through people and understand people's backgrounds and lifestyles a little bit more.
That's good. I think it's really good.
And sometimes that helps people open up a little bit more about who they are. And what we've done deliberately is we've deliberately done it by where I have no connection to the people that I do assessments with. So they don't feel like they're going to bump into me again. And so we've done that deliberately by where there's that level of, you know, private, you know, there's a privacy behind sort of the conversations that they have. So that's something that we do. We do something else called Clifton Strengths as well, which is really interesting. And that's very much trying to show how important team building is. And so, again, you know, I think work and culture at work is a sense of identity, and people can feel they can lose some of that, maybe not being in the office and being at home. And so what Clifton Strengths does is it talks to you a little bit more about what your strengths are in terms of your personality. So it goes into the softer elements of things. And it's ironic how more and more people I've noticed have a strength called relator within my team. So everybody's become a lot more conscious of the wider world and what's going on. And I think it's down to the fact that, let's face it, you know, Ukraine, BLM, all of this that's happened during a time where things have slowed down. I think we've taken stock of things a lot more. Whereas when things were moving a million miles an hour, we probably didn't care so much about what was going on.
No, totally, absolutely. Remote working, what's been the effect? We've mentioned a few things about the employee. The effect on employers.
Yeah.
What's been some of the effects of remote working for employers?
I think initially it was, this is great. I think now we're seeing that there are a lot of issues around it. Retention is the big issue with remote working. As I mentioned, I think people no longer feel a connection to an employer. If you haven't been to a physical office in 2 years, why would you? And so, you know, whereas an employer felt that they could keep a hold of staff, if not for money, for something far greater than that, that pool's gone. And so we are seeing that, you know, like every organization, attrition rates have gone up massively. Replacing that workforce has also increased. The salaries have increased. And so the financial impact's been huge, if I'm honest.
It actually opens up the job market massively, isn't it, for employers? Because you, if you're working from home, you now don't need to recruit people that are within traveling distance. You can recruit someone from across the globe, basically, anywhere in the world that can do their hours.
Well, this is the interesting thing. Not everybody does that. And that's the irony of it all. And there are a few reasons around that. So, you know, us as an organization, that was something that was very much proposed right at the start. Well, if that's the situation, why can't we hire somebody in India to do the job here, for example? Then you've obviously tax implications. You've got a number of different issues around that. And I think there's always been an idea by where for the employer that there will be some return to the office. And so there is still that desire to have people in locality for that.
Yeah. I suppose at least it opens up the job market to people in the UK, though, going further out, basically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that concept of commuting, if you're only doing it 1 or 2 days a week, is no longer daunting. You're absolutely right. I hope it helps sort of other parts of London sort of develop talent and so what they can do. And there are certain organisations that are doing the remote working a lot better than other businesses. You're right.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. I think there's always pros and cons, isn't it, to these kind of things in a sense. I suppose from what you're seeing in the industry, does it look like remote working is becoming the new normal, or is it actually, are people returning back?
No, it's definitely here to stay. I think what's going to be interesting now is that whereas before you could probably put people in buckets of how many, you know, what people's preferences are roughly, and people will go along with it. Now you're seeing such a variety of different wants and needs from people. And candidates have the power now, you know, that the power's really shifted from the employer to the employee. And so employers have become a lot more flexible with what they can and what they need to offer. A really interesting thing, Gavin, is over lockdown, you know, to combat loneliness, people got pets. So people started getting dogs and cats, et cetera.
I did a few interviews regarding that as well, to be honest.
Yeah. So
work kind of buddies, if you like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you're now looking at employers thinking, well, do we need to have office dog-friendly offices? You know? And so, you know, this becomes an extra, is it a headache or is it something they need to sort of bring into their psyche? So it's here to stay. It's interesting with how it'll evolve. 2 years from now, I'll give you an answer.
Oh, brilliant stuff. Basically, people returning back to the office, has anyone mentioned to you about how, if they're feeling a sense of uneasiness with it or anxieties, and if it's affecting their mental well-being? Because I know, talking personally, I'm thinking, even myself, I'm like, oh, right, I'm returning to the office. Oh, I'm going to be around loads of people. it's totally different ball game, isn't it?
Absolutely. And this goes on to my point where I think that this is a bit far-fetched. This is purely my idea, my thought pattern. I'm no psychologist, but I think we look at lockdown probably wrong. I think, you know, we're looking at lockdown from a sense of it being a pandemic. I think if we looked at lockdown and you looked at our experience as a sense of bereavement, I think we'll then find a reason why people react the way they do. Ultimately, we have lost things during lockdown, either people, relationships, income, lifestyle. And so coming back to the office, right, for all of us, we're not coming back into something that was there before. Nothing will be the same again. And I think employers need to understand that, and need to understand that whatever they sell to the employer needs to be new and not something old, because that's what bereavement is. You know, you're not going to replace a loved one. You need to understand something good to look forward to. And that's kind of the mindset I think a lot of businesses and a lot of people need to start having with coming out of lockdown. And I think that will hopefully help with anxiety and ease some of that.
Yeah, absolutely. We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So Abs, have you spoken to many people about their experiences? I'm guessing in some parts of the industry, some people have returned back.
Yeah.
What's been their views around that? How have they felt with the situation of coming back to the office? Were some of them okay? Were some of them not?
No, absolutely. You're getting some very, very strong views. Beliefs are huge. I'll give you an example. We have our office in the Philippines, the one that I went over to set up. They were told by no uncertain means they had to go back in 5 days a week.
Out of the blue.
In fairness, it wasn't my company that dictated that. We have an agreement with the local government, and the government there decided they wanted to get people back into the offices. We had 20% of our workforce resign that day.
20%?
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah. I mean, because some people were so adamant that they didn't want to go back to the office environment. Like you said, that anxiety and that belief by where it wasn't right for them, they decided to leave. And so you're getting real extremes. You're getting some people who are like, yes, I want to go back. This is great. But I think there's some people who just don't want to do it. And you've got to respect both.
No, that's fair enough. I don't blame them. That's up to them. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
I think some companies could have eased people in, couldn't they? They could have just said, look, we'll start off with once a week, or once every 2 weeks, and after a few weeks, we'll try maybe twice a week, and then we'll review the situation in a month's time to see how it goes. Because people can work. It's not like people can't work. People can work from home as well as go back into the office. I think they should have been like a smaller, like a slower transition, basically.
Yeah, I mean, across our other locations, yeah, we have done that, and we've seen that gradual jump. And it's funny, you know, I go into the office once, twice a week, and I see the same faces all the time. I think you sort of hit that plateau, and then it's other people by where if they don't need to come in, they're just not going to come. Mm. And so I think we're in that situation now by where we've given people the flexibility of how long they want to come. I think we're going to start mandating once a week, and then slowly but surely. But you're right. I think that's the best way, really, to gradually build people up. But we're never going to bring people back 5 days a week. We're never wanting to. We know, regardless of even 10 years from now, that's never going to happen. But we'd like people to understand the regularity and the reasons for coming back in.
The thing is, before COVID, there were some industries that were already trialing working from home, and there's already been some industries that were people working from home anyway. It's not like COVID started off the trend, let's be honest.
No, it hasn't. And you're right. I speak for people, the people that I've spoken to, including myself. I think we didn't realize the impact our work has on our social life. So it's great if the world is open and your social life is what it was and you work from home, because that healthy part of your day of you winding down is still there. But when that's also been taken away from you and you're working from home and there's nothing else to fall back on to give you that stress relief, I think that's when it's got dangerous, isn't it? And I think that's kind of what's happened. I think the world's opened up again, but those relationships, those friendships, those places you used to go to, it's obviously not the same.
Yeah.
And so the work is not going to be the same. And it's a tough one. You know, how do you go about doing that? And I think, you know, work, I think, could be a really good avenue for help people build that social platform that they need to get to do again, to be themselves, really.
No, absolutely. Have you had anyone say to you, oh, I'm so glad we're returning back to the office. Can't wait to come in every day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think those that have, those that live alone, those that are probably single, them in particular, I've found, have definitely wanted to come back into the office. And like I said, you see those familiar faces. There's a couple of people in my office who pretty much go in every day, regardless of if there's people there or not. And you know, I've spoken to them and they said it's the journey. It's that routine itself.
They love that bit in the morning, getting there. And
even if the office is empty, they can hack that. It's the same as being at home, but at least they get that bit in between that gives them a bit of respite. And so you're getting people like that, absolutely. We had the initial phase where I think we were opening a bit of an open platform, asking people their opinions, and you got some really strong opinions. So now we're like, keep your opinions to yourself if you want to do. Because, yeah, you got people, you're being ridiculous. I don't want to be in. What do you mean? You got to be in the office. So, yeah, people.
Can I be honest with you? If people want to go to the office, I think that's brilliant. That's fine.
Yeah.
If you could do your work from home, I don't know what the problem is. Especially, I find that productivity levels, and I don't know if it's every industry, but productivity levels certainly for me went up.
Yeah.
And because when you're in the office environment, it's a lovely environment to be in. But at the same time, you do get distractions.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're at home and, you know, the family are around, but they could be in different rooms and all the rest of it, you're focusing on your work. The kids would be at school or whatever. You know, I've heard people say, it's quiet time for me. I can get stuff done. I'm very productive. And some of my mates, they really enjoy it because they can drop their child off, come back home, then pick their child up later on.
Yeah.
And, you know, if their child's at home, they can, obviously during lockdown, there was some kids at home, so the children could be around as well. And like my mates and their partners work from home as well now. Hmm. So they can see their partner more and here and there. So do you know what I mean? It's difficult to just transition to kind of just come back to the office when you've got into such a good kind of routine and, you know, you're productive as well. I don't know why employers want to push on people to come back to the office, I'll be honest with you, in that situation. If people are still working hard, they're still being productive, I'm not sure what the problem is, I'm going to be honest with you.
No, so it's a fair point. I mean, I've definitely seen from my perspective, people are disillusioned with things. People get annoyed a lot easier by changes. And I think a lot of people don't understand that if they were in an environment where they could vent some of that frustration straight away, then you could find a healthier space of where you're working in, because people are on their own. And I know we have we go through a change program at work. Everybody's venting it to themselves. And so it's like a volcano. And so you'll get 3 months of everything going really, really well. And then everybody becomes disillusioned at one time. And that's the problem with people working from home that I've noticed. When it comes to change management, when it comes to situations like that, we don't expect people to embrace change at the same time. But unless you're around people, unless you can understand where other people are in the process of change with you, not everybody's able to really process that working from home. And there's another really interesting situation as well that we're seeing where coming to the office is quite important. It should have been something that was focused on a million years ago, but the whole diversity and inclusion piece, bringing people on of diversity and being inclusive in an environment. It's difficult to create an inclusive environment if people aren't coming into an inclusive environment. And so it feels a bit statty when I hire women or minority workers because they are where they are. I think the true test of a culture that is inclusive is bringing people together. And I think that's where the office is again, very, very healthy for that.
Yeah. No, I get that. I'm not writing off completely coming into the office. I think where there's a team meeting, for example, that's a nice time for everybody to get together, you know, have a good discussion. There might be some other reasons as well, maybe supervision, whatever it might be, I don't know. But basically, you know, absolutely, you've got those pros of coming back into the office. you know?
I agree with you. Like, it shouldn't be something everybody does every day a week. I think the one word that comes in is sensible. Mm. Be sensible around it, isn't it? Trust your employees. Trust they'll do their job. We have many people who drop their kids off, pick their kids off. So they start late, they finish early, and then they're not at home, which is fine. And that's the way it should be.
Absolutely. It's being flexible, isn't it, to some degree, as long as people are getting their work done and that kind of thing, you know. Do industries, have any industries got like a procedure or was of transitioning people back into the office? Was any work done around that at all?
No, and this is, it's...
That's shocking, isn't it? I find that really shocking.
And it's just, it was so funny that we were making it up as we were going along, really. You were looking over your shoulder, and it helped in one regards because, you know, there became a lot of networking events that I was joining with other sort of people of similar level to me and other organizations. And everybody was in the same boat saying, what are you doing? And what are you doing? And everybody became very open to sharing ideas because it was the most leveling thing that could have happened. Everybody was suffering from it. So nobody was getting an advantage or a disadvantage from it. But everybody's done something different. Everybody's looked at mental health very, very differently, to be honest with you, Gavin.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And mental health is, it's an individual thing, isn't it? And we're all very different. We're all individuals in our own rights. So everyone's, the response and the way people are transitioning back into the office is kind of, you know, you've got to consider that as well as an employer, I suppose, that kind of situation.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know, so... In terms of the future, are we definitely saying that for some industries that you obviously are familiar with, that we're looking like working from home will be the new norm?
I think it will be. I think financial services, I mean, if I look at, you look at the city, yes, it's busy. I look at people that I know, you know, in my organization and other businesses, people I've networked with. Flexible working is here to stay and will continue to be here to stay. I think it's needed more than ever now with escalating housing prices and bills and fuels and so on.
Yeah.
You know, I think you'll be hard pressed to make a case for somebody to come back in constantly, even off that alone. So I think businesses are becoming smarter with technology. I think that's kind of where I'm seeing a lot of investment going now. You know, what do we do? Is Zoom, is Teams enough? Is there other things that we need to do? And so you're getting a lot more interaction around that itself. And it's allowing a lot of companies to connect their global workforce a lot easier. And so, you know, I'm getting up in the morning, I'm speaking to Japan, and by the end of the night, I'm speaking to San Francisco. And
it
just feels
brilliant.
Normal now.
That is amazing, isn't it?
You know, so yeah, it's great, isn't it? But that's it. It feels normal now. And so that's kind of the way things are going as well. I think businesses are seeing that they can kind of stay open 24/7 around the clock a little bit more with the way the workforce is working. But like I said, I think they're fully aware that unless people do come in here and there, unless they can build a sense of culture and a sense of engagement, then it's just going to be a revolving wheel of employees coming in and out.
Absolutely, absolutely. Abs, thank you for your time. Much appreciate this, you know.
Thank you so much.
It's been really useful to understand a bit more about what's going on in terms of, you know, going back into the office and just general mental well-being around that, you know, because it's been quite a horrible thing with COVID that happened. So I suppose the best thing that we could all do, you know, people could do, industries, companies, is if people are coming back into the office, just make that transition just a little bit more, you know, effective and understanding for the person, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, thank you. Thanks so much for your time.
If people want to like connect with you, is there anywhere they can find you or need a bit of advice?
Yeah, they can find me on LinkedIn, Abdul Manan. So I'm on LinkedIn. Alternatively, I have, I'm on Instagram. So Ab Manan, Instagram. So M-A-N-N-A-N. I'm obviously connected to you, Gavin. So they can, you know, worst case, they can find me through you. But yeah, I love to connect with people. I love, you know, finding a little bit more about, you know, what's going on, mental health, seeing what we can do. You know, as a side project away from this, I'm looking at, you know, how I can incorporate sports into helping with mental health and, you know, what we can do around that.
Brilliant. Thanks for your time. And thank you to our listeners. You know, you can find me on Instagram at GavinJ417. Until next time, take care.